Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Back in the saddle for the big show on a National Pizza Day and a Taco Tuesday. You will have to choose today, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Iander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is Lindsey Brown.
Taco Pizza does exist.
It does exist.
Also, are you sure that you are fully in your saddle, Paul?
I'm fully in the saddle.
Because your knees were up mere seconds ago. Came bursting through the door like Kool-Aid Man, but in a Quicksilver sweatshirt. Hello.
Yeah, it's, you know, you wear many hats. This is, you know,
yeah,
you work in this industry, you wear many hats. It's kind of like being the garden manager at Lowe's Home Improvement or at Home Depot or wherever you get your plants.
And they get vests.
Right, they get vests. But you know what? They need to know about the flowers. They need to know about the trees.
Uh-huh.
Also the pool supplies.
Yeah.
The barbecues.
Correct.
You got to know a little bit about everything. So
even the paint colors, all of the little pigmentations and the changes.
That's a little bit about what we do around here.
Yeah. Well, we being you,
well,
I just do like Instagram videos and then talk on here. That's pretty much my job.
Although you're not wearing a hat today, I'm kind of concerned a little bit about this fashion choice because you are a fashion plate. We know
yes.
this, Lindsey. As many people who have met you throughout this city and sports venues when we're allowed to go out to them and the people that you do interact with from time to time. You are wearing a headband.
A sweatband.
Normally reserved for those who play racquetball.
Yes, or tennis, depending on what decade
tennis
you're in. But
or,
I'm just
or running. Again,
yeah,
if you're in the
running.
80s.
But you know me. I'm not a runner unless it's towards a tennis ball. I cannot willingly just go like, I'm going to push myself up a hill here. Nope,
sure.
I have to be playing the sports. But I don't know. I just felt weird today. I felt like I needed to change it up a little bit. I got new socks in the mail.
Socks?
Yeah, I got some new socks. And so that's what gets me excited, Paul. So sometimes you just got to get weird because it gets a little monotonous.
I wasn't thinking weird, to be honest. Huh? I was just kind of wondering what...
I just assume everybody's just like, what is she doing?
I was
doing?
Just wondering what the fashion choice was. It's got a, you know, it's got
fashion
some...
doesn't explain itself, Paul. It is an art form. And it's never done.
There's some then hot garbage art out there, I can just say.
Hey, it's all subjective. It's all subjective.
You've seen Paris Fashion Week, right?
I mean, I've seen it.
If you wanted to wear a cardboard box that made you look like a robot but cost $28,000.
I would. If somebody wants to pay me to do that, I got connections into that industry. But I'm not quite up to the big time to sit front row or let alone walk in that. Because, Paul, I don't think you've seen me in heels, and that's on purpose.
I've seen you in heels.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty. It's very Bambi on ice. The knees go in directions that they're not supposed to because we're just overdeveloped in some areas. That's what the goalie legs will do to you.
I suppose that's
so. We reclaim our glory in other ways, like on the tennis court or wearing sweatbands during our radio show.
Well,
like
listen,
cool kids.
You're sitting across a guy who's been wearing hoodies for the past 6 weeks.
Retweet.
So,
same outfits pretty much every single week for the both of us.
Jeans and hoodies.
This is how we express our personalities is in t-shirts and sweatshirts.
It's very comfortable.
It's not new.
It's very sporty, too.
Well, we are the sporty sports home.
That is the truth. We do have college hoops for you again coming up tonight, a fifth night in a row tonight. Amazingly enough, we've got a solid matchup again out of the Big 12. This one, though, number 14, West Virginia at number 7, Texas Tech. This is a 5:45 pregame.
And no Tubby Smith
tip.
Down at Texas Tech. We've already learned that they have moved on.
Not
no Patrick
Smith.
Mahomes there either.
No Pat Mahomes at Texas
Tough
Tech.
Tough week for Texas Tech, huh?
A little.
Maybe this is their chance to turn it all around.
Listen,
against the Mountaineers.
Have you ever been to Lubbock?
Excuse me?
Lubbock, Texas?
No, because we've already established I do not have a fiddle, so therefore I'm not allowed in Texas.
Just remind yourself that there are very few songs written about Lubbock, and when George Strait was writing a song, he had actually wrote a song that says, Amarillo by morning, you've just passed through Lubbock.
Noted.
That's
duly
all you do.
Noted.
Red Raiders, guns up.
Guns up. Pew, pew.
Let's get you the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
Well, they want to let Russ cook. At least that's what he says. And Russ wants to cook more, apparently. Russell Wilson says he wants to be involved in roster moves.
More than a sous chef, Paul.
So this was not... Yesterday we talked about this during our Football at Four segment where it's like, oh, teams are calling Seattle about Russell Wilson. I was kind of making jokes. I'm like, ah, mm-hmm. ha, yeah, mm-hmm. we're going to go get Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen and bring them here too, along with Ezekiel Elliott. Apparently, Wilson telling reporters on a Zoom conference today, saying that he's been hit and sacked almost 400 times. So we've got to get.
Oh my God.
We've got to get better.
Oh my God. I'd say so. And, you know, he even said this is part of the business to get calls about you as a talent. That's usually a good thing. That means people are interested in what you have to offer. But when you're running around like that, you know, we saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes and what the talent that he is kind of explains why after the Legion of Boom and why the Seahawks had so many seasons of trouble, mostly because of their offensive line ineptitude. He wants to say.
Yeah, he does.
It's a new era of player agency here, Paul. And you know what? They're the ones that are taking the hits. So why wouldn't they be involved, especially with someone that has brought as much success and wealth to that franchise? Why wouldn't you enable them?
Dan Patrick has a television show. He told them, as a player, you really know, I think a relationship like that is really key. And dialogue, especially being a veteran player, mm-hmm. the dialogue is really important.
This is a collaborative effort, Paul.
Well, Russell Wilson's never been one to truly hide you know, how he feels.
No.
But
feelings
he says,
on the sleeve, Paul.
He says, I think it helps to be involved more. I think dialogue should happen more often,
yep.
in my opinion.
He's listening to The Weeknd, clearly.
Apparently
doing
so.
It often.
So Russ Wilson wants a little bit more input into who plays for the Seattle Seahawks moving forward. If I'm the Seattle Seahawks, I say, okay.
Yes. Okay, Russ. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please.
Mm. Number two.
Smart guy.
Yes, sir. May I have another?
Yes. Seriously.
The Pat Mahomes foot saga. Apparently, we now know what it is. It's turf toe.
He has owie.
Yeah. He's going to have surgery this week because he suffered that injury in the playoffs. He'll be out pretty much for portions of the offseason program, but he believes he'll be ready for training camp.
They pretty much got to tighten up the fishing line in there, right? Because it's a hyperextension of the toe, and then if you don't allow it to heal, it just stays stretched out, at least all the tendons, right?
I've run injured before. He runs injured, and he's still,
amazing.
He's still amazing.
Playing through pain is not fun.
No.
Whether you're doing it or he's doing it.
And he did it, and it was... Yeah,
I don't know if it affected him that much because he was scrambling, but did they say which foot it's on? Which big toe?
The turf toe.
Because if it's on his right foot, you know, that's the one that you're pushing off of. That's where all of your weight and torque are going. So,
he says it wasn't a problem a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I'm sure that we can all mentally rise above that pain. It's called disassociation, Paul. That's what we call it. and you can play through it, especially if there's adrenaline working. But, you know, it's never good to hear that guys have to go under the knife because it's not a guarantee that it's going to be a success. But this is a small thing, and he's a young guy, so heal it up. But the toe it up,
yeah,
not
he
heal it up.
He couldn't step into any of his throws.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So it was probably on his right foot then.
Yeah.
So
he wasn't able to do it.
Well, and he was running around. There wasn't a lot of throws to step into.
So they're going to take care of the old torn plantar plate. The rehab is several months, but aren't he and the wifey having a kid?
Yes. Yes. So, almost wifey. Yeah. She's going to be due pretty soon here, I think.
So he's going to have to. He'll be
girl
he'll,
dad.
He'll have plenty of time to fix up.
Yeah,
nursery.
The tiny humans usually don't start moving until, 4 months in? 4, 5, 6 months?
Yeah, most of the time it's just about getting up and changing diapers and things.
Well,
so
just lay down said daughter next to him. He has full capabilities to do that duty because he's got nothing better to do.
I think he could just use his stand-in.
What's his stand-in?
Well, Paul
Rudd?
State Farm.
Paul Rudd, you're right. Look at us.
Paul
Look
Rudd,
at us changing
the
this diaper.
Paul Rudd.
He is ageless.
Yeah. Did you know he was in Romeo and Juliet?
Yes. Yes. Is it the Romeo plus Juliet? Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wasn't the best depiction of said story, but that's just me.
Well, everybody's made a version.
I remember when we were in high school, when we were going through the Shakespearean unit, we had to fast forward through the sexy time part. I was like, we know what's happening. It's right. Love, Paul. It's love.
I remember signing that permission slip. We watched the old school one.
Yep. So as did we.
There was Flesh.
And
we
had to, there
we had
was.
To, we had to sign an actual waiver to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
Yeah. We need to educate people about their bodies a little bit better, yeah. Paulito.
All right. Moving on.
Why? Number three.
Because we just got done talking about a guy's foot.
He's got a bum
toe.
Do
you have a foot thing?
No, but I've broken my toes before. I've put like a hot dog cooker through my foot before. It wasn't.
Oh, my God. What the hell were you doing?
I didn't go all the way through. I was a kid, and I was just like, let's, you know, the gamer, it's the knife.
So,
you
like
play.
Last
let's
year?
Let's not hit our fingers with the knife, except I was doing it with the hot dog poker. It wasn't my finest moment. Okay.
That's pretty clear.
Yes.
More than $136 million, including some of my money, was bet on Super Bowl LV with Nevada Sportsbooks.
Ooh!
The state's books won a net $12.9 million, some of that was for me, on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers upset of the Kansas City Chiefs.
So that's a bad swing, isn't it?
Well, they did win. The casinos won, but the wager amount was down 12% from last year's Super Bowl because, you know,
people don't have a lot of money right now to bet and expand their wealth upon.
And we can't really fill the hotels right now because of the capacity restrictions.
That's
so
right.
Fewer people means a little bit less money. Overall, though, they're all saying a solid day because Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania also reported wins. And remember, five of the six reported $1 million plus bets on the Super Bowl were placed here in Nevada, except for Mattress Max, which was done in a tarmac in Colorado Springs,
yeah,
Colorado.
He did have to exit the plane to make that bet, but then swiftly got right back on.
Yes, there was a long shot, apparently, that came through. I did not see this.
Only a person from New Jersey is crazy enough to make that bet.
No touchdown passes for Pat Mahomes. $3,000, 15 to 1, 45 grand.
Oh, God, that's like 1 year of tuition at a college.
What college are you going to?
Most colleges are that expensive these days.
Out of state, maybe.
Well, sometimes that's where I had to go for my education. The monks have to eat too, Paul.
Now, listen, I got the discount knowledge from the junior college, and I turned out slightly okay.
Look, we're both here. We're both great. Right, Marcus? You like working with us. We're just bastions of knowledge ourselves.
You notice how he did not open up the mic.
I know. I'm not going to take it personally.
Right, but you will.
No, you're correct.
You will.
We're diagnosing things. Dr. Paul's back again.
That's right. Take off the headband. Dr. Freud is here. Moving on.
Number four.
All right, this would not be good as a Los Angeles Dodgers fan or as the station that carries the team, but things can happen. The Los Angeles Dodgers right now are over the luxury tax cap.
In which they are.
Well, you signed Trevor Bauer to a $40 million deal. You have to pay somewhere. However, there is still no end in sight for whether or not Justin Turner will return to the Dodgers. He is the top remaining unsigned free agent in baseball right now. It is him and him alone.
Yeah.
Now, everybody thought he was going to sign with the Dodgers. However, it's money and years. This is what it is.
Right. And baseball free agency ain't exactly what it used to be. There's a lot of teams that basically just said, yep, I'm not going to sign anybody until, I don't know, 2 weeks into actual spring training. And so I would think maybe he would take less money just to return here. But then again, you gotta eat while eating's good. And he doesn't have that many years left. What is he, 35, 36 years old?
36. The team that he left to go to the Dodgers, the New York Mets, apparently, are very interested, I suppose.
I'm sure they are, especially after the swing and the miss on Bauer last week.
Yeah, so the Mets.
Cohen needs some positive PR.
The Mets are in the race, and apparently also the Milwaukee Brewers are, according to.
I kind of like that fit for him. Don't you? The Brew Crew?
They need some help on their infield for sure.
Yeah. And go help who's young batter guy, center fielder guy?
Ryan Braun.
No, not the one that did steroids. The younger one.
Oh, Christian Yelich.
That one. He needs some help.
Yelich could use a lot of help.
He could use a lot of help, and Turner is a pretty solid bat, and so who wouldn't need that in your lower part of your lineup?
He would be just fine there.
Yeah, I like it better than Atlanta because he was being tied to Atlanta for a while, and we're like, no,
truth,
you cannot go against the people we beat in the NLCS.
I don't like him anywhere else but a Dodger uniform.
Maybe it still happens.
Yes, that is the
although
truth.
You can't get everything that you want, Paul.
That's not
true. Parenting 101.
That is not true.
Mm.
That is not true.
All right, Veruca.
If you believe it, You could be it.
Again, okay, Veruca.
All right.
I want it now.
That's right.
Number five.
Seven-inning doubleheaders are back. Yeah. Runners on second base to start extra innings are back in 2021 for baseball. As they're going to keep everything after agreeing to new coronavirus protocols and new rules with the players. This came down late last night.
Wasn't this already decided upon?
Well, they were dealing with the virus protocols and stuff. This had part to do with it. So, for example, if you have to delay any of the games in the season, instead of playing a full doubleheader where normally you'd have nine-inning games, which sometimes in a doubleheader...
baseball plan.
You could last 16 innings or 17 innings, but you're short pitchers. You don't want to be at the ballpark all day long. So they're going to shrink things up to 7 innings for doubleheaders. And if they go to extra innings in any game, they'll just start that runner at second base.
Right on. Expedite that process. Speed that game up. The pitchers want to, you know, change the sign, touch the chalk bag. Definitely do not put anything else on that baseball in their glove. Obviously, totally clean. This is what we have to do. We have to change the integrity of the game ball.
Spring training starts in 8 days. Season starts April 1st.
Is that happening in 8 days?
Yes. Spring training will happen. They agreed to the new protocols last night. The players are going to wear trackers. There's heavy fines.
Believe it when I see it.
It's like the NBA. It's the same kind of deal. Get a little green pass.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, you're not going to be able to see it because you can't go to games.
I know. Well, I can get a really big telescope.
Training. A really big telescope.
Mm-hmm. A Hubble, perhaps. You don't know.
You have some connections that apparently I am not aware
of.
Well,
I know. And you have a ton of friends that are like really cool in educational forms and history professors and stuff. And you still won't introduce me. I don't know why.
What, do you want some Zoom calls?
Yeah, I want to talk to them about stuff. There's stuff going on in the world. There's stuff that's happened a long time ago that's very interesting to me, Paul.
I'm sure. My cousin Jason would love to talk to you about whales.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love whales. What's your favorite? Blue, humpback, orca? Which one?
What's
your favorite whale? You don't have a favorite whale?
Moby Dick.
Come on. You would. The low-hanging fruit. That's what you do. You knew. Those damn sperm whales just keep getting in the way. Robin! I don't know if we're going to see you tonight.
Or a whale shark.
Whale shark.
Which is kind of a shark and a whale.
Dude, you can swim with those.
Like a liger.
Orcas you can swim with, too. There's never been an attack from an orca on a human in the wild. Fact.
Sounds fantastic.
I love whales. They're so smart.
I had a whale breach.
No way.
Once on a boat.
Oh my God. I want to go whale watching so bad. You were on a boat. Was Andy Samberg there as well?
No, we don't go that
road. T-Pain?
We don't go that road.
Oh, such a banger.
We don't go that
road. Maybe they saw the whales.
I doubt it.
I like whales.
Not on a Staten Island cruise.
You don't know. The migratory patterns could have changed.
Migratory patterns.
Climate change is everywhere.
That
Great whites are off of Cape Cod all year.
No.
It's crazy.
Can we just say no?
Yes. No. Yes. No. All right.
We're moving on. There's your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Coming up next, the Frozen Pond and the Ducks visiting tonight. We'll go into the Knights' chances of victory coming up next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay with you on this Tuesday afternoon. On a Tuesday night, we will have some hockeying tonight.
It's happening!
Yep, happening again. It's the first time we've had a
game in 2 days.
No, something that's not leading into like a weekend where there's a million other things going on. It's like the focus can actually be on the hockey.
Yes, the footballing has passed.
Right, well, the Super Bowl was kind of, everything was like the precursor to the Super Bowl this past week.
Correct.
You know, so everything kind of snuck up on us a little bit.
Focus up, because we did win that game on Sunday against the Kings 4-3, but it wasn't the most inspired of victories, Paul. But it's a victory nonetheless.
Truth, and I think, as I say, things sneaking up on us. I'm not sure that you want the Ducks to be sneaking up on...
They do dive down sometimes. That's correct. How they get their foods.
They do. They went back-to-back shootouts with San Jose. Mm-hmm. So they've been playing some long games. Again, you know, they've had a couple of days off here.
Yeah.
But now that they come rolling into here, and we've already seen this team once.
Their opening series.
Right, to open up against them. So we already have the magical formula to beat them. So what beats ourselves here, Lindsay? What do the Knights not want to do?
Well, you don't really want to make a habit of getting scored on super early in periods in general. You know, we talk about the first and the last minute and how demoralizing it is to get scored on. I mean, I'm all for us scoring, But just to kind of settle into the game a little bit would be really nice. And just to not overlook and kind of get too fancy and get too cute with our plays. You know, it's hockey is full of cliches, but simple hockey wins hockey games. And by doing the little things, by bearing down on the details, on short tape-to-tape passes, by getting, you know, the pucks out of the zones, by taking good quality shots, that is how you win hockey games. Because it doesn't matter who you play in this league, there are guys that are going to make you hurt if you're leaving the zone early or you're taking a shift off. And so the Knights just have to take this opponent as they have every opponent so far this year, which is seriously, and just take it minute by minute, shift by shift.
So the good news is they get a skater back today, and Alex Pietrangelo officially
at practice.
Yes, officially he is off the unavailable due to COVID protocol list. The Vegas team is clean, as is the Anaheim team. So
yes,
we should have a couple of games here tonight, and then two nights from now on Thursday. Yes, Paul, you know how to read calendars.
Yes,
but as
good
you look,
for you.
But no Pietrangelo tonight. So that means again, someone's going to have to slide in and play third pair, or you know, readjust just the first pair.
Yeah, I would expect the same lineup that we saw on Friday, where Coughlin is up there with Nick Holden, and then you have Whitecloud and Hag at second pair, and then Martinez and Theo at that first pair. And it worked pretty well. I mean, they went more with 5D, even though Holden was on that bench. So maybe VGK, you know, maybe splits that forward group again. But we don't really know because it was an optional skate this morning. And then we always forget, too, that guys are allowed to warm up with the team even if they're not going to be playing in that game. So, like, Keegan Kolesar has been in warm-ups even though he hasn't been technically in the lineup and what have you. But this is a lineup that I will put out, you know, against anybody. There's going to be a good chance as long as everybody stays in their lane and stays in their role. And, you know, I have faith in this defensive group even without Alex Pietrangelo.
How is Dylan Coughlin, by the way?
What do you mean?
How does he look on the ice? It's a guy who's being thrust into a different situation, who's having to... So it's different in many sports. You have guys that are plug and play. You just slide them in, slide them out. Swiss mm-hmm. Army knife type guys that, you know, just assimilate, move in. You don't see any, you know, you're not going to suffer with them in the lineup.
And yeah.
But you're also, you know, not going to get this monster push out of them.
Yeah,
so where does he fit?
He's basically right there. I mean, usually when you talk about defenders, kind of the run of the mill kind of joke in the locker room is like, if we don't notice you, that's a good thing. And the couple of plays that I did notice him in the game the other night is that he wasn't afraid out there. He was on like a zone entry. A guy was coming up on the boards with speed right next to the Golden Knights bench. And as a defender, you don't want to get back up too fast and give them too much time and space to create, but you also don't want to be too close to them where they can pick a side and blow right by you. And even when the Kings player, you know, cut back towards the blue line, slowed up that ensuing rush a little bit, he stayed and kept that gap. And that's, like I said, an indicator that this isn't too big for me. I'm in a comfortable situation. Granted, when it's your first game and it's kind of your first weekend, I'm sure the adrenaline is just moving. And the team itself has done a really good job of supporting the young guys, not just Coughlin, Kolesar, you know, Nick Hag and Zach Whitecloud. Their implementation of this roster isn't just like by happenstance. It's because this organization puts them into positions and situations to succeed, and then the team supports them. And so if he sees some minutes tonight, that's great. That's indicative of good play the other day. But it's pretty much a next man up mentality right now. And I can't, that is the great thing about this system and the structure that Pete DeBoer has implemented.
Now, you and I last night talked during the nightcap, which you can find on the radio.com app. If you haven't subscribed to it, you should, because it's a regular kind of...
Yeah, don't be a loser.
It's a regular injection of hockey talk into your otherwise boring mundane life.
yes, correct.
And we have fairly spirited conversations. And last night, Lindsay, you and I, you know, talked about this team, and it was very difficult to pick them apart when it came to giving them grades in this first month of the season, of which we've almost completed a full month
right.
of the NHL campaign, which sounds just wild in itself. I'm not crazy about calling this game a trap game, but for all these
Every game is a trap game, Bob.
For all these A players that we've seen that we're seeing on this mm-hmm. team, and it's very clear that, you know, this we're clicking right now as the Golden Knights. it can be very easy to get complacent against a lineup like this, where if you just look statistically at them, they are not strong in any category whatsoever.
Well, they have balanced scoring. You know, nobody's really separated themselves, but they have a few guys at the top that have 6 points, you know, a bunch with 5 points. And that's just, that shows you that this is a team, like you said, that doesn't have a ton of offensive prowess, but a team that knows how to work, that knows how to keep themselves in games. You know, we talked about the back-to-back shootouts. This is a team that's fourth place in the West right now. They're 5-5-3. You know, they're 500 all the way, but it starts from the net. With that team, with John Gibson, who is probably going to be in the net tonight because Ryan Miller played just the other day, and if you allow him to get comfortable, it's not going to be a fun time for whatever team. And the Golden Knights are one of those squads, and especially in this division, that everybody is trying to bring their best stuff against you because they know that you are in the position of power. They know that you are the one of the chosen, anointed teams that's so good that usually can win on just talent alone, not hard work. And that's really what the Golden Knights need to do, is to prove themselves that they have the hard work to go with all of the talent, because otherwise you're just kind of like a paper tiger in a way. And that's why getting John Gibson basically rattled, not allowing him to be settled, is my first key to a Vegas Golden Knights success out of my 3 to 5 that I usually provide on game days. Because if you take away his eyes, if you make them feel uncomfortable in the crease and get them backing up more into the blue just by your presence alone, you're already deviating their focus, their mentality as goaltenders, which is, my job is the puck, nothing else. I track the puck the whole time. If you can get a little bit of disruption in front of him and get him moving just like any other goaltender, that's going to translate to success. But those shots from the outside, settling for just kind of like, oh, zone entry, and then throw it on the net, we'll see if we get a rebound. No. You gotta basically dismantle this guy and dismantle this team, because they're a bunch of smart hockey players that know how to shut things down defensively.
Interesting. When it comes to the Knights and the Anaheim Ducks as they come rolling in here and looking to, you know, steal one of two, I think that's the goal for most teams when they roll in here right now.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing on T-Mobile Ice, is to get at least one of the two, strike while it's hot. Usually you can catch a team off guard night one, as opposed to night two. We've seen it in how they've done and how we've seen some of these back-to-backs in the NBA and certainly in college basketball.
I think it's kind of opposite for hockey, though.
You think so?
I think so. I think teams bring their best night one and then night two, just because that kind of snarls a little bit harder to conjure up. And then the fact that it's so abnormal for hockey teams to see each other back-to-back that you can say, oh, okay, so we can get really down to the minutiae of how I can get your team off their game because we just saw you, and to have that kind of open note test. I think it's a lot more of a topsy-turvy second game. If anything, the first game is just basically, can you manage your emotions? Can you manage the momentum the best you can? Because these games can get away from us, because the first game that the Vegas Golden Knights played against them, it was 5-2, and Marshy scored like a minute in, and it was like a bang-bang first period, where we had the two first goals, and then we kind of settled in for the middle part of the first period, and then they were like, boom, boom, and got them right back. And so you just have to be prepared to match the energy if you're not the one that's dictating the tempo. And the Knights usually do that, but sometimes they get a little bit too comfortable with themselves, and that's also a key to Vegas success that I have for tonight, is managing that game momentum, making sure that you're executing on special teams, which wasn't a huge factor in the first series against the Ducks. There weren't a lot of penalties called, but if they are, scoring's great. But gaining momentum is better. If you manage that, if you do the right things, the goals will come. Make the smart play. Get off the freaking ice. That's it.
Nice and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a quote for us today,
Lindsay? I do have the Foosh quote of the day, because Papa Witt and I used to always have the quotes before practice to inspire the masses to our victories. And so our quote today comes from Robert Louis Stevenson, who is the author of Treasure Island and The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Speaking of all the Freudian thing we talked about in the first segment.
Certainly.
Keep your fears to yourself, but share your courage with others. And I'm saying that with the Golden Knights. I saw that bench was a lot more active, a lot more audibly supportive, especially of Robin Leonard. And that's something that, you know, we were so good at in the playoffs in the bubble. And it's something that sometimes goes by the wayside when you're night in and night out in these empty arenas. But you got to bring the fire. You got to have the chatter there, and to bring the energy. No fears to be shared, but all of the encouragement, all the good times, all the good vibes. And we will have a heck of a hockey game.
First of two with the Anaheim Ducks a repeat of the opening series, which took place roughly a month ago. See how things go tonight. Marc-Andre Fleury expected to start in goal. Again, Alex Pietrangelo did skate this morning. He is now off the COVID protocol list, so that is good news for him. And maybe he'll be able to get his sea legs in time for a Thursday night's game.
We shall see.
For Anaheim.
No, you know, rush!
Yeah. Well, we're doing okay right now.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're doing just fine.
We're good.
We're not New Jersey or Buffalo right now.
This is true.
Or even Minnesota.
Boy, this is true.
Minnesota's got like 10 guys on the COVID.
Yeah, they had a few come off of it today, but their spread has been really tough because they had guys that were tested positive or negative getting on the plane to go home, and they had sent like the players that already tested positive on a separate medical jet. But then, you tested negative, and then like five of those guys tested positive like within 48 hours. It's just not everybody's managing, not so great. And it's the only sport that has everybody sit shoulder to shoulder in little anchovy boxes. So just saying.
Right. Well,
there's one positive. There will be more.
Let's go to 3-on-3.
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it.
3-on-3.
I wouldn't hate it.
Wouldn't be bad.
Wouldn't.
Although, man, like 17 to
I'll tell you
15
what.
Games would be a little wild.
Yeah, the goalies would not be pleased. The goalies would not be
pleased.
Can
we make the goal smaller?
There's nothing worse than 4-on-4/3-on-3 hockey as a goaltender because there's just like if one person decides to just kind of take half a shift off or gets a little bit tired, you're pretty much screwed. Angles are not fun.
Golden Knights Anaheim tonight at the Fortress. Coming up next, the will of LeBron and the will of Tom.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Tuesday afternoon with Paul and Lindsay. Thanks for spending it with us.
Yes, thank you.
A lot of folks, though, looking to get out of the sports world. Today we saw some hockey retirements. Miku Koivu.
Miko?
The former Wild and Columbus Blue Jacket star, finishing with Columbus.
He is a Minnesota Wild. The first, like, long-standing captain ever, because for the first few years, they had, like, a rotating C, like, every month. So it was almost worse than what the Knights did until they chose Mark Stone. But wanted to go play in Columbus. We're going to talk a little bit more about the state of things for the Columbus Blue Jackets in the program, because things are getting weird with Coach Torts.
And also retiring today, two members of the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team. Jocelyn and Monique Lamoureux.
The twins.
The twins. One last name of Davidson, the other one Mirando. They both have hyphens.
Yes.
They say they're just missing out on life's experiences. So they've
great gals.
They got what they need from hockey and they're stepping aside.
They're not fun to play against, Paul. They score a lot of goals on me.
LeBron James is 36 years old. 18 NBA seasons. Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl at the age of 43. And LeBron says he's been watching him for a long time. Says, though, as he talks about how long Tom Brady has played, he doesn't know how long he's going to play the game. Richard Sherman says, I've got 2 more years in me.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's like, I don't know. See how I feel.
Yeah.
He understands he's in a different sport, too.
Yeah.
And he understands that Tom Brady's in a different sport.
Not as much running for Tom.
Correct.
And Tom's not exactly the athlete that LeBron is.
Sure. But punishment is a little different in the NFL as it is in the NBA. You know, the bumps and bruises, and there's diets and things like that. So you have to wonder, when it comes to the retirements, and again, we had a couple of retirements today, a couple stepping down for different reasons, obviously, but, you know, for Koivu, who I mentioned initially, says he just wasn't playing as well as he thought he was going to play.
Yeah, like, he got a healthy scratch for the first time in his career, and he wasn't happy about it. That's exactly what happened.
Right, so as he understands the clock ticks out, what's it going to take for a guy like LeBron to understand when his time is up?
I don't know. I think it's one of those things that you'll know it when you see it, to quote a certain Supreme Court decision from back in the day, because you're doing so much, you know, from a very young age to elongate. But these guys are so in tune. We all are if you're athletically inclined, because you have to be. You have to listen. You, especially as you age, you can't just say, oh, it's fine, I'm not going to tell the trainers about this, because eventually it's going to come back and bite you in the ass and probably get worse. But we also have to take into account the fact that LeBron in the last 2-3 years has probably been more reinvigorated than anything else when he you know, had some injury time in his first season of the Lakers, took that summer off. And then, you know, last year when they paused the season, they took a break for a little while. you know, and he was in the ice bucket after every single practice, every single game on en route to that championship. I think he's added some time to his clock. If no injuries happen, that's the big thing too, is that, you know, you can keep trying and pushing yourself. You know, Tom Brady, you know, tore his ACL in 2008, and that's pretty much all he's had besides concussions, which I'm pretty sure, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when he was having those, he was playing through them. But your body will tell you if when things are starting to run out, or if it just becomes like too tedious for you to and too painful otherwise, because, you know, your body kicks in the adrenaline once you start playing. But that doesn't mean that these guys aren't in pain every other second of every other day.
Sure, but LeBron James is a special kind of athlete. He's mm-hmm. built differently. It's very clear. It's very clear he has the mental game. It's undeniable the physical gifts that LeBron has, mm-hmm. you know, being in the NBA for 18 years. I look at him, though, and then I go, okay, well, Vince Carter played until he was 43.
And when did he stop dunking?
Vince Carter stopped playing in 2020. He could still shoot mm-hmm. the ball, but he didn't play, you know, heavy minutes in the last several seasons of his career.
Right.
He still played, but he wasn't playing heavy minutes. I'm just looking at the fact that will LeBron still want to go, even though there might be some sort of decline? Again, we're not going to know until it happens,
right.
But LeBron is 36. You know, Vince, who, you know, everybody loved, he could play.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was still winning awards, you know, in his later part of his career.
Oh, he had a 3 to walk off last
right.
year.
At 43 years old,
yeah.
You know, with Atlanta, but they subbed him in. It was like a token substitution.
And your role changed. Like, he was the dunk champion. That's what he was known for. And LeBron, like, you have to change the way that you do things. And I think that's why, if anything, like the rise of the 3-ball is probably one of the best things that could have happened to a lot of these basketball players. Because just like, first of all, how many fewer steps are you taking to a basket cumulatively and going into the house of pain that is, you know, the key, and just, you know, getting more bang for your buck. To take it into like a hockey term, like Alexander Ovechkin used to lead the league in hits year in and year out. He does not anymore. And then it's for a reason, because the Caps had to say, hey, if you keep going at this pace, it's not going to be as long of a career for you, because your body just can't take the abuse. And so it's finding different ways to kind of cut corners and avoid further abuse on certain parts of your body as a whole. And then as an individual, well, are your ankles a problem, like Steph Curry or for LeBron? He's never really had a big injury or anything like that. So it's just kind of like, so where's the problem area, and what are the next areas to fall in the Jenga tower if we don't take care of this, you know?
LeBron's a different cat. And again, this is why I bring up Vince Carter, because LeBron, because he's been a starter his entire career.
Since he was 18 years old.
Yes, at 36. So if he plays 7 more seasons, he would actually have 25 years in the league, just like the 25 years of basketball Vince Carter played as well.
Right.
Could LeBron accept a lesser role? I think that's the
yeah.
big question right now, because he talks about, I don't know how much I'll be able to give the game.
Yeah, and he doesn't strike me as a person that will allow his decline to be played out on a grand stage. Like, I think it either culminates with a championship, or right now I think what's on the horizon for him is, like, he wants to play with Bronny if Bronny's going to make it in the league. Like, I think legitimately he's like, That's the long-term plan. And if something happens before then, like, obviously it changes. But LeBron's a very proud man. And many of us are, especially because we don't like admitting that it is our time. But sometimes you stay a little bit too long. But I think that he, considering how much other stuff he has going on, his movies, his production company, you know, all of that he's involved in, I think he's looking for a bookend. And I think maybe it's that first potential season with Bronny, if it's possible.
I just look for the flag or the signal flare, whatever it is, where,
yeah.
you know, that retirement.
Unless
that
he's retirement, told otherwise.
Yeah, that retirement number calls for you, you know, to where it, you know, it was very convictive when Tom Brady said, I'm coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm coming back. So Brady's back in
this
Tampa.
This is all Tom does, though, because, you know, Tom just hires a TV crew to follow him around, because he hasn't changed his day-to-day schedule in years. Because that's how obsessed he is. And it's a miserable way to live. Like, as someone that probably didn't do to the nth degree that he does with the TB12 method, but as someone who's like very much like hockey, 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 it sucks. It's miserable. LeBron doesn't strike me as that. And it's fortunate, because he's that much more talented. He doesn't need to be like that. And so, I don't know. It's just, you're either your body will tell you, or your soul will. One of the two.
Yeah, either or. LeBron says the longevity of Tom Brady's career and him winning not really going to change how he feels when it comes to playing the game.
Can you imagine how many miles he's run in his life?
More than enough.
Up and down, not even games.
Even with load management.
Exactly.
Even with the load management.
That's a big body and a lot of weight to carry around.
Right. Well, the will to do things can be very strong, especially when you have the passion to continue doing what you're doing.
True.
Coming up next, how professional golf could change with a $120 purchase from Amazon.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
So, for those of you who golf, and I'm not talking about the miniature golf kind, which is just as fun, but for those of us who go through the suffering of driving and getting up early and booking tee times and
masochism with plaid pants, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
His golf.
Hey, look, sand.
Yes. I actually like playing out of sand. Usually it goes well for me.
I used to be a decent trap player.
Yeah.
Anyway, the PGA of America today has announced that all of us are now cool kids, because not only do we not have to pull the pin out anymore when we putt, we can all use our range finders legally. And when I mean all of us, I mean now the professional golfers on the men's and women's tours. And the seniors. So the
notebooks, they're going to still have them to map out the greens and stuff.
The notebooks will be there, but now everybody can just roll over to Amazon, of which I did a quick price check before we came on the show today.
I've never had one of these.
And now you can have a range finder where pros can now hit and determine. So, hey, if I drive the same length as you do, say, you know, we both knock out about 290 yards and we're not quite sure who gets to go first, I can now whip out the range finder and figure out how far each of us is away to the green and pick the perfect club.
Is that what it's going to be used for? Is to determine how far who's hitting first?
Because no.
I think we can eyeball that.
No, this
but it's
is,
the eyeballing of the just to get your reads quicker.
It's just quick distance now.
Yeah, you
know exactly where the pin is, exactly where the front of the green is, and
I mean the boys' club is not going to be very pleased. The purists are not going to be very pleased. But I'm actually okay with this. I've never used one. So I'm sure maybe that's the big difference in my game, because we always know that it is indeed the arrow and not the archer that is the problem.
Well, all the golf carts have GPS in them now anyway.
And they're the worst because they never shut up. I'd rather just have the telescope.
Right. You're out of bounds. Please return to the path.
Turn that off your golf cart.
Please
turn
return
it off.
To the path.
Please go back. I can't. You've turned off my golf cart. What am I supposed to do? Push this thing?
That's very true. You're out there trying to push your golf cart out of bounds.
Yeah. During this heat, probably not a good idea.
So
probably not.
The rangefinders are coming. Professional golfers now get to use the rangefinder. So
everything's in response to Bryson.
This is going to happen. Yeah. This is going to happen at all the majors now. It's going to be allowed at the majors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to allow the men's and women's and the senior PGA championship.
Sure.
Flow of play. They're chalking it up to flow of play. I'm not crazy about it.
I don't want to give them another advantage, because you're supposed to be the best at this in the world, and you're supposed to be able to eyeball this stuff. Like, this is what you do. You're supposed to be doing all the prep work and stuff like that ahead of time, you and your caddies and your team. But also, I don't want to watch Bryson DeChambeau sit there for 2.5 minutes.
Does this taint, though? I mean, if you win a future major, does this kind
I'm
of...
I'm sure in a lot of people's mind it
if
does.
If you look at... I think it does with... You look at Nicholas, and you look at Sorenstam, and you look at, you know, Tiger, and you go, not one of them whipped out an electronic device to measure how far they needed to stick it within 3 feet of the pin.
Right. But just because you can doesn't mean all these people are going to. Like, I think there's going to be a little bit, well, I'm not going to use it. I don't need it.
I've used it. I just go at the professional level.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why you're there, right?
I agree. But it's also you're not a good golfer because of your eyesight, Paul. Because there's an access point to that as well. Like, not everybody has good eyes. Not everybody has the ability to read these. But if you can swing a golf club, that's really what you're being tested on, right?
Sure. It's another tool.
Yeah.
That I understand. You know, you have a scope in the biathlon to shoot targets in the Winter Olympics. I get that. You're not just free aiming going, maybe I'll hit the target. But it's...
There's so many dumb rules in golf, though. It's like, if you mark your scorecard wrong, you can be disqualified. Like, there's also that stuff that's in there, too.
You just don't see that many miss hits in golf. You know, you very rarely go, he could have used another club on that.
But that's the thing. What if the technology's not correct? What if sometimes we are the perfect computer, Paul. We are the AI. We're not, or we're the I. I don't think everybody's going to use it. I think this is like, you know, a few years down the road, some of the young guns are going to use it. Or if somebody really needs to like make up ground, this is a way that you kind of get an equalizer. But there is absolutely going to be people like, I'm not going to use it. I don't need it. I'm too good anyways. And more power to you. More power to you. Don't care.
Well, at this point, you might as well just, if you've got a playing partner and you've got one of these at the professional level, I mean, again, I've used it because I'm an amateur and you know, sometimes I just can't judge. I just can't judge it.
You don't need to. You're not playing for anything.
But you might as well just shout it out. Hey, dude, it's 162 yards from here. Don't even do it. Don't even
get it out yourself. If this helps bring golf like somebody that is a consistent champion again, it's not a guarantee that that is ever going to happen again, at least at Tiger's level. I'm all for it because there's a lot of gatekeeping in that game already. And maybe it's getting a little bit too loose towards the top, but maybe we make this decision and something else pops up. We're like, oh, wait, that's better. So we can go back and take this away. I'm just glad that they're tinkering. Because until 2 years ago, they didn't change anything about that damn game in 150 years, Paul. So we're trying to make ourselves better. Just leave Zen Master Rogers up to it. He'll figure it out.
Put the ball in the hole.
Yes. It's that easy. Just hit it.
It's very simple.
Super simple.
Golf is an easy game.
It is.
When it comes right down to it.
Yep.
All right. Football 4 is on the way as the Playmakers rolls on for this National Pizza Day.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Rolling into the big show's hour number 2. Paul Iander here, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is Lindsey Brown.
Hey!
Full hour on the way, some football here. Also, we'll talk about tough love in the locker room, whether or not it works, or whether or not tough love is being disguised as something else. And we'll also talk about keys to victory for the Vegas Golden Knights as they host the Anaheim former Mighty Ducks.
Not so mighty anymore.
Not really. They're 500 Ducks.
They still fly together, though.
They certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gordon Bombay taught him well.
He did.
And we'll continue. When does that thing premiere?
Next month. End of next month.
Actually looks decent.
Well, it's got What's-Her-Face from Gilmore Girls
Graham.
In it, right?
Yes, and Parenthood, which is an excellent, excellent TV series. If you like This Is Us, it was the This Is Us before This Was Us.
Can you still stream that show?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. Well, I don't know. That's a good question because it's an NBC product, so maybe it's on Peacock.
It's a little bit older now, not Peacock Plus.
I don't know. It's not just a little bit older now. It's only been off the air for like 4 or 5 years.
Right, that's old.
It's still good.
When it comes to shows, that's ancient history.
That tackles still a lot of modern topics that we still don't quite know how to deal with as a society, Paul.
Dax Shepard's in that too.
He is. He's great in that show too.
Craig T. Nelson from Coach.
Correct.
Who played the mom?
Peter Krause. Or no, that was
Peter Krause played the mom?
No, but he was Adam, the oldest son.
Right. Monica Potter was in that, I remember.
She's great.
Who played the mom? Who was the matriarch? Bonnie Bedelia.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look at
the
us.
The diehard wife.
Exactly. Also, we have the
Holly McClain.
Yeah. There's a few other people. That's a great show. Joy Bryant, Mae Whitman.
You're losing me now.
You know Mae Whitman? She's in a few of the young rom-coms.
Okay.
She's a great actress.
You
she's
nailed really, it, Lindsay. Oh, it is on Peacock.
Yeah. Look at me. Look at us.
There you go.
This Is Us before us.
Before his parenthood. I gave up on This Is Us.
There's too many emotions.
After like 2 seasons, I think, I stopped. It was really cool conceptually, but then it
just got to be a lot. And the world is a lot.
Well, they're all a lot. It's the idea.
I watch most of the stuff I used to watch anymore.
It's the idea of streaming. Like, I missed probably the entire last season of Big Bang Theory, except for maybe like the first episode. Modern Family, I didn't watch maybe the last 2.5 seasons of.
Yeah. No, I didn't. There's been a few shows that even my favorite ones, like, I didn't watch the last episode of the most recent season because I don't know why I'm not finishing things. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this brain right now. There's a lot of things.
Just got to make it happen.
I guess.
Right?
Well, maybe I'll just rewatch the season and then if I know that something's bad is going to happen, I was just kind of like, I can't deal with this. So I'll watch like Barbarians
if you know
Rising.
Something bad is going
to
happen.
Like if I know something's going to happen to a character that I really love, it's really hard. Like I get super like locked in and empathetic with the shows that I really like, especially with certain characters. And if I know something's bad is going to happen, I'm just like, I can't deal. It's like losing a member of the fam.
So you don't rewatch sports?
No. No, I don't. I'll watch documentaries about sports.
Right, but you know bad things are going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Like in every documentary about sports, I think something bad has happened.
Or you win the championship.
It's the full sandwich.
There's always a sandwich. That's small. Like, you know me, Paul. Sports are one aspect to my life. There's a lot of other bigger things that I like to spend my time on, too.
There's bigger things than sports in your life that you like to spend time on.
I do. What? Is that a crime?
Nope.
Is that not allowed? I like learning about history stuff because we know all the bad stuff that's already happened. And it's done. And it's not going to happen to me, or at least this particular scenario.
All the bad stuff?
Yeah.
Well, we're reliving the plague right now, aren't we?
I suppose. But hopefully we take some of the lessons that we learned from the last few ones that we've gone through.
From the plague?
Humanity has been through a lot.
Don't have rats run violent, crazy in the streets.
Yeah. It's just basically keep to yourselves. And believe what the smart people are telling you because they're the most educated ones in the room. We're just dealing.
The smart people are the most educated ones in the room.
I'm just saying, and education isn't exactly what the thing that we think it is. I'm just keep to yourself, stay away from the crazy rats, and wear the giant beak things. You know.
It's time for football at 4.
The footiest of footballs. If you don't know your history and you don't know where you come from, how can you expect to know what to do next?
Yeah.
Right, Patrick Peterson?
He calls it a dirty rumor.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we talked about reports that he was not going to return to the Arizona Cardinals. He woke up this morning and said...
Like this.
That's not... It's not true.
It's not true.
Robin! He says there's no update. He says it's a dirty rumor, although there have not been any free agency conversations at this point.
It's not true.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for supporting Patrick.
Been there for his entire career.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, sometimes people in our business are just fishing and trying to put something out there because we gotta put an article up today. So, but also, I'm in the camp that believes that things like this don't just pop up out of nowhere. A seed has to be planted for a flower to grow, right, Paul?
I suppose.
So.
Somebody said something to somebody and was misconstrued, apparently, according to Pat Pete.
Right. Or you say, yeah, you can say this off the record because we're not really sure yet.
It just feels this one's an odd one.
It's a dirty rumor.
Well, you know, he.
Dirty!
He's an all pro. He hasn't talked to anybody. He's talking about a reporter that thought he had some information and clearly wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no
reason.
We're
grasping at straws, Paul.
Well, we're always grasping at straws, but when it comes to sports, unfounded rumors, some of them have turned out like this one. I mean, maybe it's true, who knows, but then the Russell Wilson thing all of a sudden, you know, exploded by saying, he's like, listen, I want to be part of the play calling, and listen, I keep getting beat up in the pocket over and over and over again. This sucks.
All these things are true. They just haven't come from the mouths of the people that we're used to them coming from.
Well, this one's coming from Russ, and he was asked about whether or not he's available in a trade. This was Dan Patrick on his TV show today, and he said, I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question.
Which is true.
So clearly he's thought about it. There's no doubt about it. Because
well,
he has
to have thought about it because he read the same story. Right, he's being asked about it.
I believe they've gotten calls.
Yeah. Calls are fine. It's part of the business, Paul.
Right.
We're checking to see the price of your goods. How much do oranges cost at this particular stand? How does it compare?
Who would want a deal for Russ Wilson?
I think a lot of people.
An everybody like a Deshaun Watson?
I think people are just looking, are just knocking on doors just to see if that's even in the headspace of the team. It's not always about, what do you want to do right now? It's like, which way is the wind blowing? I don't have my giant golf telescope, so let's do this the old-fashioned way, and hit the ground and make some phone calls.
Well, he says it's a Seahawks question, but he has the no trade.
Exactly, so it is a Seahawks question.
Well, he can say no to everything.
Exactly, right? He's like, don't ask me because you need to call them first. Because if you call him, that's tampering, is it not?
Well, you can call his agent.
Some teams don't care about those rules.
You call his agent.
You can.
You say, dude, is he looking to go or is he looking to stay? Otherwise, we don't have to get
like
into this.
Like he said, if people are making calls about you, that usually means you're doing something right. You got to focus on what you have control over and the things that are important to your life. He has much bigger things going on. Clearly, he's the reigning Walter Payton Man of the Year award for a reason. It's like, yeah, people want to call about me, like you said, I can just nix this trade anyways. Doesn't matter. So, of course.
But he wants to make sure that in 2021, that he wants to be on the field upright as opposed to down on the ground, which means he wants some help.
Yeah.
And wants to be involved in the help, which can be a good thing and a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure he's ready, because he says that, it feels like he's ready to shoulder the load when it comes to Seattle's success in the next few years, if that's where he needs to be. Because, listen, if I want to help make this team up, and you want to start calling me, one, he's heading off anything that could be construed as craziness that's happened in Houston, where apparently Deshaun Watson wasn't consulted on anything.
Right.
In terms of the trades, and in terms of the coaching, in terms of the GM, where he was promised, or maybe he was or not, whatever it is. But that seems to be a weird kind of situation. So it looks like he's trying to get ahead of anything like that, because maybe he's really comfortable where he wants to be in Seattle.
I think so.
And make sure he's surrounded by the right guys. Now, mm-hmm. whether or not the Seahawks are able to afford those right guys, because he's already been through one restructure there.
Right.
I mean, it's a different team that's there now that went to the Super Bowl 4 years ago.
Right. But you're not looking for a guarantee of success. You're looking for a guarantee of inclusion and collaboration. Those are two different things. And I don't think it's far-fetched, and I don't think it deserves nearly as much like negativity with all these players asking to be involved in the process.
Now, the question is, though, who gets this special treatment? All 53 guys?
No, it depends on what you've given the franchise. It depends on how much equity you've built up. It depends on how big of a cog you are in the just everyday success of that.
Should Derek Carr be allowed to make GM decisions? Should he have...
No, we're not talking about GM decisions. We're talking about being included in the conversation.
Should Derek Carr be included in the conversation about who gets signed by the Raiders in 2020?
That's up to the front office.
Well, has he given enough? I'm trying to draw the line on who's given enough in this league who deserves this kind
of
a treatment.
I think so, but you know, just because you're in a pool and it goes to the same level up in the air, you know, in the air, doesn't mean that the depth is the same under the water. Like, Derek Carr is a very important part of this team right now, but he's also expendable. And I think he deserves to have conversations. It's up to the front office to extend that option. But also, he probably knows that he's in these conversations as well. And so you kind of have to retract. You can't, living with your heart on your sleeve, and I'm guessing in these businesses too, there is very little loyalty. And so... for the guys that do put the time in, the guys that do bring the success, that are there, that are that big of a piece to the team in the locker room and have that long-term future and where they're all on the same side. This is the thing. You don't know where you stand unless you have the conversation. You have that conversation, you say, yeah, you're part of the long-term future here, Derek. Great. Can I have some input on this? Can we just talk about it? Can I be in the room when we're discussing this? Because I think I have some great insight that I can offer to you guys about what I'm thinking, what I think puts me in the best position to put this team in the best position for success.
Is that his role, though? Is a quarterback,
I don't know. Is he that type of leader? That's the side of the front office
of
the team.
As a quarterback, is that his role, though? Do I need to be involved in player personnel decisions? I'm not sure
it does.
Not
everybody wants that either. Not everybody wants to be involved. I think if people want to take the initiative, just like anybody else in any other industry or job, if you take initiative, then why wouldn't you reward that? Why wouldn't you reward somebody wanting to be part of that?
Because that's not what I hired you for. I hired you to throw a damn football.
But if your inability to do the job is affecting my ability to do the job, if I'm not getting the talent around me, or if that's a huge part of what makes my success go, I don't see what the big deal is about just having these guys in the room to have a conversation.
That's the ownership, though. That's the ownership's problem. If they don't if the ownership doesn't hire the right GM to be part of that conversation, then the GM isn't doing his job.
Exactly. I'm not saying that every franchise or every situation is a positive one. That's, but you're trying to figure out which puzzle pieces best fit together, and there's very few teams that have that matchup all the way down. But you don't think that they ask Tom Brady recruited half that team, Paul. You have to earn it, and there's a respect level from the team, from the front office, and all of that. That's why it's a very special thing. No, I think Russell Wilson's in that camp.
If I had six rings, I would have that too.
Yeah.
I was just asking about Carr. That's all.
I know.
They're going to have a boat parade in Tampa.
What? They're copycatting the lightning?
They're going to have a Super Bowl boat parade for the Buccaneers on Wednesday. Socially distanced, of course, because I don't know
I'm
how you
sure.
do anything on the water. It's socially distant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't drink out of the Lombardi Trophy.
Thankfully.
So that's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fairly similar, apparently, to the one the Lightning had. So they're doing a boat
parade. I'm sure they haven't stopped partying.
The Super Bowl streaker has, his name is Yuri. He, essentially, here's what's going to have to happen. Gambling websites are not going to have to offer this bet anymore. The guy told a radio station in Tampa today that he made $375,000 from running across the field. He bet on there being a streaker on the on a gambling website.
Yep.
Ran across the field. He faces trespassing charges.
Oh, no.
But still bet $5,000 to make $375,000.
Hell yeah. Just smart business right there. I mean, technically, if you try to do that on Wall Street, it's going to get you in trouble. In theory. Maybe not in practice. But I would think that that would probably be taken off. I'm surprised nobody, no pun intended, I'm surprised nobody's done this before.
Bet on themselves to run across
it. Yeah. Because it's something that you control.
It is indeed. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know what the rules would be at that point. Isn't this like betting on baseball, I guess, right? Betting on your own team to win or to lose?
Yeah, essentially. But and you can't say that it didn't have an effect on the game because Antoine Winfield Jr. said that he welcomed the breather.
Yeah.
So, and that's... But that's, you can't control everything, and the chances are you rely on people's better judgment. But clearly we know that things get impaired when you start double fisting the beers.
He wasn't impaired, though. This guy was clearly thinking that...
He's got his Borat suit on and everything.
That's like intent.
I know.
Like, you show up at the Super Bowl looking like that.
I know.
Take off the bra and be a man.
Yeah, it was my favorite part of the call, but Kevin Harlan is a genius.
Well, he gets it.
He does.
He gets it.
I hate how we take the TV away from it. Oh, we don't want to encourage it. This is why we're here. The game sucked otherwise.
Well, nature continues healing.
Yeah,
so
honestly,
we have streakers on the field. And
there's always going to be that one peacock that has to be out and about.
Yeah. So he won $375,000.
Good for him.
He did.
Pay that bail.
This bet is coming off. The bail wasn't much. Trespassing at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. There's no trespassing in Florida. We know this.
That's all he got.
Yeah.
Just call him a crocodile or something.
A crocodile.
Carson Wentz. There's a article today in the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Scathing article.
Written by Marcus Hayes. Who says if Carson Wentz is run out of town or is traded or whatnot, that he would become the most hated person in Philadelphia in terms of sports history.
That is quite the pedestal to be upon.
Lays out this monster case about how Wentz got the extension in 2019 and really never lived up to it.
Yeah, he says that he basically stole the money, which I don't agree with because he showed up and played and went to work every day. Again, you're not paying people to have success or guarantee of success. You're paying them to play.
And how, if there was a trade between them and Chicago, which had been rumored, that it would essentially be trading Nick Foles back to the team for Wentz, which they had already had.
Literally.
They'd already had it.
DeFilippo's in Chicago, Paul. It was the OC for Philly that when they won the bowl too.
That's
a heck of a title to bestow upon Carson. But like I said, it's a little rich for me. The argument that he lays out, like I said, the stealing of our we the fans paid for the salary and you've done this and they bent over backwards to basically remake this team in his image and he still wants to go. Trust me, I'm not the biggest Carson Wentz fan, but I don't hate him either. I think that he's a little butthurt about everything and that he's being a little bit of a whiny guy, but also, he doesn't owe these people anything. None of the athletes do. This is their job. This is what they do. That's his body. That's his career. He can do what he wants. If the Philadelphia Eagles didn't want to pay him all that money, then don't sign to the contract. Get better people with better judgment.
Wentz wants to go to
Indy.
Chicago.
No. No, he does not. Because you want to go from one abusive fan base to another. Just toxic relationships all over the place.
He wants to go to Indy.
Yeah. I would want to play against.
But there's a thought about Chicago too. But Indianapolis would be the place where he'd want to go. The problem is that the Eagles say they haven't been getting enough in exchange what they think Wentz is worth because they're seeing the other deals that are going down. Right
but also,
now.
It's the contract too, and he's not 100% proven commodity.
It's bloated.
Yeah,
it's a bloated deal.
And so that's the thing is like we need to stop thinking about it in terms of like, oh, this player is worth this many picks. What is his contract worth? What is that freedom or getting out from under that if a team is looking to worth, because sometimes you have a more urgent need in your lineup that you could be just a step away from being a championship contender versus like we're still figuring things out. What level of urgency? What is that? That is what dictates the pricing these days.
Well, everybody wants to move on, it seems like. Yeah. At least they're trying
to. Well, this is so Philly. We're like, get out of here. Sure. Well, we don't want you.
This is the passionate fan base. Yes. Whether it's passion or whether it's just anger. You know, there's two different ways to feel about that. But
how has Wentz repaid them? With treachery. With petulance. Well, with a fractured locker room. And a shattered balance sheet with no viable replacement. What happened to Jalen, bro?
It's what you tell yourself when you're failing.
The treachery.
It's what you tell yourself when you're failing.
I feel like I'm in church right now.
Gonna take you to church at some point.
Yeah, thanks, Jose.
Coming up next, tough love in the locker rooms. Or are you just being a, you know.
Taco Tuesday!
Let's go!
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Taco Tuesday!
Pizza, pizza.
Taco Tuesday!
Pizza, pizza.
It's a remix.
It's a remix!
I did the Taco Tuesday last week.
Did you?
Yep.
Are you planning to partake again?
It's National Pizza Day.
You can do both. There's nothing saying that you can't do both.
I think tonight's
both
just,
is good.
Just doing the pizza tonight.
Oh, all right on. Good
there's
for
a,
you.
There's a new place by my house I've been wanting to try.
Yeah.
So
God, I love pizza.
That's what's going to happen. Yep. Not quite that.
Little Caesars?
I used to work for Little Caesars.
Did you really? You've worked everywhere.
I was a Little Caesars driver back in the day.
What?
Yeah. Worked, I worked at a video store. So remember video stores? We've talked about this before.
Correct.
So I worked at the video store, was the manager, worked there 5 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And on my two off days, because I needed to make coin, drove delivery for Little Caesars, which was right next door to the pizza place.
Well, well, well.
And so
Renaissance man you are.
I can make said pizza. I can roll out said dough. I can do the boxes. But the most lucrative was delivering because I did midweek. I didn't do weekends because that was the video store. You had to work on the weekends.
Sure.
And so I worked weekends at the video store, but I worked midweek at pizza. And usually it was just me driving. So it was great.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the best.
4-6 hour shift, just cruise around. The worst part was when it rained because you had the hot sleeves where you put the pieces in, the windows would fog up in your car. I mean,
you can't see the numbers on the houses.
You couldn't see anything. So you'd have to step out of the car. And then it was worse because, you know, nighttime.
Yeah.
You
know, daytime.
Dark. Yeah, I know. The whole sun and moon thing. You know, the whole fact, you know, the earth is not flat, ladies and gentlemen.
That's controversial, Paul.
It could be, but it's not true if you believe that.
Agreed.
I would make $1 every time I took a pizza. So every delivery was $1.
Yeah.
And then tips on top of it. And then,
cash money, baby.
And then you got a gas allowance too. So
you were
rolling in money if you had you prayed for like for example like a church group or something like that because I had Tuesdays Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So like on Wednesdays church group whatever it is like they'd order like
pizza party
five
confirmation
six pizzas,
group
Woo. Come rolling over six pizzas
yeah
probably get $5-6 you know $1 a pizza it's kind of like $1 a drink kind of thing
yeah.
I'd make out. Like, it'd be fantastic. I'd pay off. I'd have a car payment, insurance payment, and free pizza.
Look at that.
Pizza, pizza.
I went through a phase that on the way to golf practice, which was just like hitting a bucket of balls at the range, which is hilarious. I would stop at Little Caesars, get breadsticks, and I'd be like, you know, literally mid-swing, just like eating them the best.
Sure.
Oh, but you know what? The worst thing, pizza people, I get it. You know your trade. You know how to toss it all. Like you said, Paul, you are a disciple. Please heat up your sauce that you serve with the breadstickies.
It's hard to do that.
No, I don't care because guess what the receptacles are that the sauce puts into? It is plastic. I cannot put that in the microwave. So please heat up the sauce. There's nothing worse. I'm just like, I don't need this. Throw it out the window into a trash can.
There's no real simple way to do that. I mean, even when
But you're the people that are supposed to figure it out. This is what the service is that you provide. Heat up the freaking sauce. I cannot stand it. It is the hill I would like to die upon.
You like cold pizza sauce?
It's the worst because you can't really heat it up because put it on the plate, then it bubbles up and then it ruins your microwave, Paul.
You own a small saucepan, right? Like most normal people?
I'm using it to make my spaghetti, Paul. I'm paying for things to be taken care of for me, am I not? When I'm getting pizza delivered? Robin, shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Just if you need to heat it up, just a small little like... you know what a mise en place is?
Can you spell it?
Okay, so it's basically, you know, a chef, they'll put out in the little...
I have the little dishes. You have like little ceramic dishes. Container? Yes.
Perfect. Put it in that. Put a paper towel on it. Just like 10, 15 seconds in microwave.
There are going to be droplets of sauce in my microwave, and I'm not paying for that. I want to be it to be heated.
Then use the plastic. Use plastic wrap then.
You're not supposed to. That causes the cancer. It's like putting the bottles in the, campfire.
Take
no.
Take a small dish. Put it over the top of that.
I shouldn't
and
have
then
to
warm
do
it up
all
that
of this.
Way. I'm just saying, if you want it warm, that's the only way right now.
Or you just do it for me because that's a service I'm paying for. Little Caesars.
God bless.
Thanks, Vin.
Just listen. We all love a good hot and ready. We do. We love a good hot and ready. That is not a metaphor. That is not a metaphor for anything.
I still
just
have pizza.
We love having that, but remember what you're buying, your price point.
It happens with Papa Wands as well, Paul. I'm just saying, there has to be heat. Bring a flame in that car of yours. Get a match. I don't care. Figure it out. Unreal.
It's just, there's simple remedies.
Sometimes you just have to buy into the system that people are, you know, expecting
Having worked on that side.
I know. I'm not blaming you.
No, I get
I'm
it.
Blaming the man.
I get where
I'm blaming Caesar.
I get where you're coming from. But again, the price point, the availability of what you're buying, pieces.
It's just unacceptable.
You know what? I have an idea for you.
What is it?
I actually have an idea. No. Every year, when things return back to the normal here in Las Vegas, you know what Las Vegas hosts every year?
What?
They literally call it the pizza show.
Can we cover it?
At Las Vegas Convention Center, pizza vendors, people that make the ovens, all the innovations, they all get together here. There is a pizza convention. You literally could shop any sort of random idea or hold a giant picket and hold it up and say, warm up your damn sauce.
We want hot sauce, not the topping. We want hot sauce, not the topping. The temperature. Sean Paul might have a thing to say.
There is a pizza convention here.
I'm looking forward to it. I've been robbed of my Vegas living experience since I got here because I was here for like 6 months and then everything changed. So
Metro
I got
Police,
lots of things.
You have been warned.
Yeah. Use your damn blinkers. Warm up the damn sauce. There are very few things to my 10 commandments here. We better start writing these things down.
Well, there are two.
Yeah.
There are two. Blinkers and warm pizza sauce. That second thing I think you can correct. There is a convention here every year. My friends come down for you who own pizza places.
Ask the consumer. How many $1 million ideas have we had on this show already?
Enough to, if we had a penny for every $1 million idea, we might have $1 million.
Maybe.
Probably
should invest.
We should start a jar.
Possibly you.
There is a storm brewing, or maybe it's already been there, and it just continues to whirlwind. Where you'd think it'd be with the Carolina Hurricanes, but is it actually with the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Well, you gotta wear a jacket in the blustery 100-acre wood.
What?
Winnie the Pooh, come on.
No, I get that, but
wear a jacket.
What does it have to do with the Columbus Blue Jackets?
I'm just saying, you have to wear a jacket, and you're saying there's a storm. You have to wear a jacket in a storm.
Okay, John Tortorella is being a jerk.
Or he's being a hockey coach.
Okay, so what is it?
Because synonymous.
Is it tough love because he sent one guy packing already for another guy, and the guy that he sent, that he got, Patrick Laine from Winnipeg, because he sent away Dubois, Pierre-Luc
Dubois,
who is in Winnipeg, who's apparently going to play tonight because he cleared the Canadian protocols for COVID.
Yeah.
The guy he traded for, who was in Columbus, Patrick Laine, sat on the bench for the entire third period. This was a guy that multiple teams were trying to pry away from Winnipeg.
It's the second overall pick from 4 or 5 years ago and is an absolute sniper from Ovechkin's office, which is right on that face-off circle. And when you're that type of player, Paul, when you score goals like that, usually you like to think, well, I'm so good at this, I don't need to heat up my sauce. I don't need to back check. I don't need to necessarily give my all in every shift. And there is one thing that John Tortorella expects, and that's 100% effort all the time. And there's a very fine line with coaching, but with hockey coaching in general, especially with Torts, because Torts can take it a little bit too far sometimes. And it's tough to have this guy sit down 4 games in when he's just kind of learning the culture. He's just kind of, you know, getting acclimated to his surroundings. He's had 3-4 points in his first few contests. But then again, there's one thing you can control, Paul, and that is your effort level. And so he makes an example. He'll sit you down. He said, we're keeping this internal, you know, but people love to kind of pedestalize Torts as like the old school hockey coach by because he uses old school tactics. But you got to buy in. You got to, this is it's a new spot. But we're also not dealing with a situation where we can kind of ease into the waters either.
So what
like,
was
he's a professional guy. You're paying millions of dollars.
But what was he expecting from this guy who did scored 3 goals in 4 games?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're fully integrated in the team. Go. This is what
well,
this
you're
is
not,
what it
though,
is.
Because if you're not playing the game the right way, it doesn't matter how many goals you score, especially with Torts. So stuff we talk about all the time with the Golden Knights, about doing the little things, about being an example by playing a full ice game, not just in the offensive zone, because anybody can go at 10 out of 10 effort level on their breakaways, on their offensive chances. But this is a team sport. It's a team game. And so there's a reason why Laine gets sat. And that, like, it's going to be addressed. And so it's up to him to respond with this. And like I said, Torts really plays with fire. Like, you can really, you know, get some guys to completely shut down by doing this early. And so, is he being an a-hole? Probably a little bit. Because, but that's Torts. That's what you know what you're going to get with him as a coach. And Laine said, I want it out of Winnipeg. Well, we got you out of Winnipeg, bud. You're in a different spot. Oh, my God. See, I'm very passionate about this, just like Torts. And so you got to buy in. And if you don't buy in, you're not going to play. If you're not going to play a full, I forget, I keep wanting to say how many feet the rink is, like 160. I don't know what it is. I just worried about the crease. If you don't do that, then you're not going to get your offensive chances, because there are guys that earn that instead. And the guys that they have in that locker room, the leadership group with Cam Atkinson, with Nick Foligno, with those guys that remember that team that upset the Tampa Bay Lightning when they were the best team in the league in 15 years and they swept them in the first round? That was Columbus.
Who didn't prepare him for this?
Himself.
No,
that's Laine's problem.
No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at veteran Blue Jackets forwards and fellow wingers and people who said, dude, you got to play for this guy because it's different from any other place you've ever been.
Right. Well, that's it.
But apparently the conversation didn't happen.
We have the brochure, Paul, that first, and then you have the in actuality. And Patrick, the culture in Winnipeg is not the same in Columbus. And that's not to like put down the Winnipeg Jets in any way, but they let him do what he wanted because he scored goals. But this is why Torts has this type of team. This is why he works in Columbus, because it is a different type of expectation, a different expectation of product on the ice, because it's a blue collar state. It's a blue collar town. We're going to play hockey the right way. And this Torts is the oldest school guy there is. This is not the first time he's had brush ups with his players, including Pierre-Luc Dubois, who he sat as well. He did the same thing with Marian Gaborik. He did the same thing with Ryan Johansson, who was eventually traded to the Nashville Predators. This is the bit. Not everybody is meant to play in the system, just like not everybody is not meant to play in the Patriot way. But this is how this team operates. And this is where you were traded to, because you wanted out. So this is where you are for the rest of the year. So do you want to tank your career and your value or whatever by saying, I don't want to skate hard all the time? What sport are you playing? Grow up. Most of the time I'm like, let's be cool to players. Let's let them kind of chill. Let's let them, you know, get things figured out. But Laine has a track record of this, just like Pierre-Luc Dubois is. There's no question why they were traded for each other. Because they wanted a better situation, because they didn't like how they were treated, because they're not treated like the gods that they think that they are.
I just wonder how many teams or how many players in this league have no trades to Columbus because of this guy. Because in a lot of cases, tough love like this may backfire. It didn't backfire for Bruce Arians when he was ripping Tom Brady in the middle of the season.
Work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, and that is especially so in hockey. Because you are... It's not offense defense where you're compartmentalized, where you have one job. You have all jobs, Laine. Grow up. He's been in the league for like 5-6 years. He should know better. If this is what your coach asks you to do, this is what you do. That's what you do. If he's being abusive, that's one thing, but that's not this case. So you got to buy in. Otherwise, I've seen how this plays out in many different levels, many different locker rooms, and it's not a good thing. He might be traded again, but then who does that reflect upon? It's up to the player. So?
The coach has no responsibility in this whatsoever.
No.
This is on the player.
Yes. I have no sympathy for guys that don't give their full effort up and down the ice no matter where they are. I don't care how talented you are. I really don't. And there are people that are transcendental talents, but the thing, like, you don't think, do you think Connor McDavid backchecks? Hell yeah, he does, because he understands what he is, that he's a leader. They brought him in to bolster that lineup and be a leader, so act like it. Act like you're earning the big bucks. Act like you should be on the power play. Because if you're not putting in the work, why would I choose you and corrupt my own culture and my own system just to cater and placate you that just got here for some power play goals every once in a while? Not worth it to me.
See how it works out in Columbus. Coming up next, Golden Knights and the Ducks taking to the ice tonight at the Fortress. Keys to victory for the Knights on the way.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Well, the Golden Knights will be wearing the red jerseys when you catch them on the old television tonight.
Yes.
When's the last time they wore the reds? It's been a while,
They've
right?
They've never worn the reds. It's literally the debut.
Wow.
Well, it's a reverse retro. We wore the Goldies on Sunday. We've worn them like three or four times. We were one of the fortunate teams to get two new jerseys this year instead of just one.
So when they go play on the lake here in a couple of weeks,
they're wearing the reds, unfortunately. I haven't seen them live in person yet, so I don't want to make a complete judgment on it, but I'm not gonna lie, I don't really like the designs.
The red ones?
Yes, red ones.
The red one looks a little bit like the logo's fine. Again, it feels a little like you would, like a banner that you would hang at one of those jousting places where you go eat the food.
Yeah, no.
Tournament of Kings kind of thing.
And that's the thing. Robin. It's hearkening back to the history that hockey has had here in the Valley before the Knights were around. And so I get it and stuff like that. People are really excited about it. It's just I'm not a huge red person, so a lot of it is personal preference. But maybe they look better on the ice than what I think they will, because I'm not really a huge fan of the Goldies either, but I will say they look better than I thought they would on the ice. It's different seeing it like in a markup or in a store window versus under the lights on the ice of the pod.
Well, they say, you know, when you dress the part, right? You can look the part, dress the part. It's the part that you want. So they're going to wear the red against the Ducks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In that red uniform, what does this Golden Knights team need to do to get another W in that column?
Well, first and foremost, you got to get in John Gibson's kitchen. You got to get all up in the business of the crease crawler that is not ours. That's, you want to push them back. You want to make sure that they're not challenging shots and getting the favorable angles. You want to make him move laterally. And that's really all about shot selection. It's not taking shots from the outside or just on the initial rush. It's setting things up. It's tiring out the legs that are trying to defend in front of him and forcing him to make desperate saves. You know, John Gibson is one of the best goalies in this league because he sees a lot of shots. It's easy to get better. It's favorable, and most goalies prefer, myself included. I'd much rather be on a team that's a little less talented because I just want to see more shots because it's my job. It makes me feel good. And so getting him, or at least not allowing him to get comfortable, is a huge, huge point of importance for this team to find success against Anaheim. Another thing is about being quick and opportunistic on breakouts. The Ducks are big. They will hit you. And if we get caught down in our own zone and all of a sudden, you know, we're back on our heels and getting stuck, those tired legs that I was just saying that we should tire out the other side's legs, they will do that to us if we allow them to. So sometimes just to, when in doubt, chip it out and make sure that you're not getting stuck in our own defensive zone. You got to pick up guys in front, which basically means to support that the D zone as well. You don't want to let these guys get wide open in front. In the first game of the season, granted it was the first game of the season, there's a lot of puck watching with this team, and we've rectified most of that, but it's just making sure that guys are covered and that we're fronting the puck if they do have possession in our defensive zone, meaning like we're going out to block shots, that we're the ones that are being the aggressors rather than just letting the puck in play come to us. And then make the Ducks skate. They're not as fast. They're not nearly as talented. So make them think, make them run down their energy. If sometimes a well-placed dump in over the red line is more effective than going down and trying to get a shot, just because you're going to make that D turn on. Now we have to go gather the puck again. Now we have to go break it out again. And we got good forecheckers coming in. So it's just kind of a war of attrition for tonight.
I think the challenge, for the Knights this evening is that the Ducks have, and have done so on many occasions this year, having watched a few of their games, they have a tendency to lull other teams to sleep.
Yep, and, with the busy work.
Right, and so as they're just kind of chunking around the ice, they pick their opportunities. It's not like they make a ton of mistakes because, you know, they're not hot on the power play very clearly, but they're really great on the penalty kill. So right. You know they're doing something right.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about like keeping the score low. So you're just like, well, we're only down a goal and we have plenty of time. Right. And so and that kind of mentality, because if there's a team that's scoring like boom, 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 you're like, oh, this is the tempo we're in. This is a race that we are going to run. And you know, the Knights, again, it was their first series of the first two games of the year. They got out to an early lead and then kind of rested on it. And then Anaheim was able to get back in that game right away. They woke up in the second and third period, obviously. But just this team is about playing as mistake-free hockey as you can. And so you can't take any time off. You can't just like go into autopilot mode and assume things are going to get done. You're going to have to go grind it out in corners. You're going to have to go get in front of the net and take some cross checks to the lower back. And hopefully the puck goes off your face or your shin or somewhere else that's going to put it in the back of the net, because that's what needs to be done sometimes, especially against teams like this, because they will give you the outside. They will let you just walk into the zone because they know that if they just let you do that, that's, Where's the path of least resistance? It's human nature to take that. And so it's all about staying concise and intentional with what you are looking to do in that zone, which is trying to set up shop, but not settling for shots on the outside and doing that busy work. Because this team, we know, can turn into a shooting gallery. But then if you do that and you warm up John Gibson, let him get all lathered up and feeling good about himself, even if you start penetrating later into the game and into the house and really creating havoc, he's already feeling so good about himself, and he's probably making a few saves that would have been goals if you just would have started with that same type of intensity in the first place.
Well, the Ducks have been a fairly even team, and when you mean even, they're 500, you know, ball club right now.
Yep.
As they come rolling in here, and you know, the two wins that, you know, came earlier this season for Vegas, those are well past us at this point. And the consistency of the Knights, you know, we've seen it from the top lines very clearly. I think what could happen tonight and what I would like to see happen is I would like to see Stevenson continue this momentum that he had in that last game against LA, because it's just another weapon that can slide in. And, you know, it's good to be feeling yourself and to have a little bit of a hot run. And while we know who the regulars are, a guy like that just gives the Knights yet another option, because this team, you know, for the most part, with the exception of COVID and Petrangelo, mm-hmm. has been able to stay relatively injury-free when it comes to that offensive side.
Absolutely.
And, you know, not having Braden McNabb, we haven't suffered at this point.
Right. And when you have, like, secondary scoring, too, it takes, you know, a little weight off of your top guys like Mark Stone, like Max Pacioretty, being like, okay, so I don't have to be at my absolute best every night. Like, you want to be, but that weight of expectations and what you're asking these guys to do, which is to play the full, you know, how many feet are in the actual rink, 160, 180, I don't know, like I said, don't worry about the crease. But it allows some of that pressure to dissipate somewhere else. And with that pressure comes confidence in oneself to shoot the shot. I'd really like to see that third line get some stuff going and maybe get some goals again. Cody Glass has scored on the power play as of late, but I really like the way that Nick Waugh has been playing. You know, he's a guy that is grind it out. I'm going to go in the corner. I'm going to hit. I'm going to take all the licks that are necessary to get the puck out. But he has a nose for the net if he's allowed to have it in a way. I'd like to see something from the fourth line as well, but that's not their job. Their job is to wreak havoc and chaos,
right.
and
some
hit
minutes,
people.
Right.
Exactly. And get your top guys a breather by not being a minus in the defensive zone. And so as long as everybody's taking care of business, it's going to be just fine, but I'd like to see some of the younger guys step up. And if we can get continued production from the defensemen, namely our young guys, I'm all for it. Let's keep that going as well. Yeah. Ride the hot hand, Paulito!
Yeah, the biggest favorite tonight at the books is the Knights over the Ducks. Everything else is relatively close today, and I don't know where we're at. Where are we at with this? There was another game today.
Well, we had the Philadelphia-Washington game postponed.
Detroit and Florida, which Florida was one of the other bigger favorites, and they're tied at one at the end of that one. So I bet I got hosed on that one over the weekend.
I'm not
Florida
surprised.
Was,
I don't know
Florida
why you're betting on games with the Red Wings involved.
Florida was undefeated, and Detroit torched them.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. That's, I mean, any team can beat you on any given night, and while, like, this team has not shown, like, a habit of letting mistakes compound on each other, you still got to show up. That's only through yesterday. So you got to make sure that you prove the same thing to be true today.
Sure. Anaheim and the Vegas Golden Knights tonight, their third game together this season, unlike St. Louis and Arizona.
We thought four in a row was bad.
Right. They're playing seven in a row. Seven games in a row.
Against Arizona, too.
Well, they should get out of your system, right?
I suppose.
Kind of like, you know, hair of the dog, I guess.
Yeah, seriously.
Who are we playing again today?
Same guys, different mouth guards.
All right, we do have college hoops for you coming up tonight. West Virginia, Texas Tech, big matchup out of the Big 12. That is at 6 o'clock tonight. Otherwise, for Mark Biddy, making things sound nice, she's Lindsey Brown, I'm Paul Einhander. And that's a wrap on the Playmakers for a Tuesday.
Sports!
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.